Your heart set upon him this morning that he will do something for us, just what we have need of. We can just slip into that channel and draw from him, because he promised to supply our every need. Let's just look unto him in prayer this time. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come in your presence this morning, Lord, we are thankful for the wonderful day that you have given unto us. And Lord, we can lay aside all the cares of this life, and we can slip away here into your divine presence and assemble ourselves together and come, Lord, with a great expectation in our hearts, looking unto heaven, expecting as we pray, believing, dear God, according to your divine promise that where two or three is gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst. Father, we come confessing our sins and our shortcomings, our mistakes and our failures. We ask that your precious blood would blot out our transgressions, blood our confessions now, Father. And Lord, we pray that the life of that blood, your Holy Spirit will just drop upon us, Lord. And Lord God, you will just bring such an inspiration in our hearts to draw from you what we have need of this morning. Knowing, dear God, you said, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open unto you. And the reason we receive not many times because we don't ask. But Lord God, we know asking is an expression of the faith that we have, that we believe, and that we believe that you are more than able to give unto us what we have need of. So Father, I pray that every desire, every need in the hearts of your children this morning would be met, dear God. And Father, you would meet with us in a special way in your word, and you would bless it to our hearts, and it would bring an increase in the faith in our souls, Lord. Lord, it would cause us to rise up with a greater faith in this hour, to stand and face the challenge of this hour. All the things that confront us, Lord, all the circumstances round about us, it will give us the quality of faith that will cause us not to take into consideration the circumstances and all the things that the enemy will throw in our way to hinder us, Lord. But that faith will rise above these things and see a promise, Lord. And Lord, we'll be strong, Lord God, in praise and glory unto you. Grant these things, we pray. We just ask, Lord, your Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us now in what we should say and do. And Lord, it cause us to be closer drawn to you at the end of this service. Grant these things, we pray. We commit ourselves into your hands now, asking thy divine will be done. For we pray and ask these things in Jesus' precious name and for your sake. Amen. Let's just sing this song. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We don't have the music, but as I always say, we have a melody in our hearts. Amen. That is most important. What good is music without a melody in your heart? Amen. But when we sing these things, you know, it's an experience. And it's such a beautiful song. My hope is built on nothing less. If we try to place it upon some works we have done or how good we are, we're just missing the mark by the grace of God. But we know it's upon the finished work. Amen. What he has done for us. Let's just sing it. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. I just want you to maybe raise it for me by the grace of God. Hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide its face, when darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood supports me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground is sinking sand. When he shall come, when he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then let him be found. Dressed in his righteousness, alone, faultless, to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand. The ground is sinking sand. All of the ground is sinking sand. You know, that song is more than a song, it's a confession of our faith, of the stand that we are taking. Amen. To stand upon him. Let's just sing it again. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Amen. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. The ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenant. His oath is covenant. His blood supports me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground is sinking sand. Amen. His oath, his covenant, his blood. Amen. What does that mean to us? His oath. He made a sworn oath. and that he will bring these things to pass. His covenant, his blood, amen, he's a covenant-keeping God, his covenant of promise, and his blood that he shed, all these things were made possible. He said, this supports me in the whelming flood. Amen. When all the flood of doubt and fears come against our soul, remember his oath, remember his covenant, remember his precious blood. Amen. We have something to anchor the soul. Amen. My anchor holds within the veil. Amen. Let's just sing, when Jesus comes, the tempter's power broken. I gave that song in my heart as it's coming to service. I'm just thinking about it. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. Let me give you a number here. What? Somebody say it clear for me. 100. No wonder if you're singing that way, it just shows. One sat alone beside the highway begging. I believe this all of us experience with Christians. Amen. Sat alone. The highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see, he clutched his right and shivered in the shadow. And Jesus came and bid his darkness flee. When Jesus comes, oh, that he would come amongst us today, amen. The tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are washed away. The gloom and fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes. From home and friend, the evil spirits drove him among the tomb, among the tomb. He dwelt in misery. Oh, he cut himself. He cut himself. As demon powers possessed him, then Jesus came and set the captive. When Jesus comes,
When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the glow and fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes.
Unclean, unclean,
unclean, unclean.
Oh, the leper cried in torment.
Leper cried in torment.
The deaf, the dumb.
The deaf, the dumb.
In helplessness, the near.
Helplessness, the near.
Oh, the feverish.
The feverish. Disease has gripped its victim. Yeah, Jesus.
Oh, that he would come right in today
and cast out everything. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the fears are wiped away. He takes the glory.
Let him take yours today.
And fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to save.
So men today.
So men today have found a Savior able. They could not conquer passion, lust, and sin. Broken hearts had left them sad and lonely. Then Jesus came and dwelt himself with him. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes,
oh, the tears are wiped away. Yes, Lord. Oh, come right in, Lord. Come in today.
He takes the glow. Fills the life with glory. For all is changed
worship Him. Ask Him to come in today, come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Amen. He comes in the darkest time, and then new hope arises. Oh, He could change the scene when He comes, regardless what the condition is. The Master is come. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, just come in today, Father. Come right in amongst us. Come right into our hearts, Lord. Oh, God, we open our hearts to receive you, Lord. Lord, like those men on the road to Emmaus, we entreat you coming and abide with us, Lord. Then something good will happen, Lord. We know you will change the scene. Oh, we believe it, Lord. You can do it. There's nothing too hard for you. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name. Come in and abide with us today, Lord. Into my heart, into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in this day. Let us sing that again. Get ready to change your life. Amen. Into my heart. Oh, entreat Him to come in and abide. Come right in amongst us. Not just our midst, but our hearts. Amen. He always comes where He's invited. He always comes when there's a place reserved for Him. Jesus. Lift up our hands and sing it. Open our hearts. Amen. Today. Amen. Amen. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. If He came in when they had treated to come in and abide, He'll do the same if we approach Him in the same attitude. Sing it one more time. Oh, yes, Lord. A place is reserved for you. We open our hearts to receive you, Lord. Won't you come in and abide with us today? Let the tempest's paw be broken. Wipe away the tears, Lord. Oh, God. Heal the sick and the afflicted. Come in and reveal yourself in a greater way. Lord, we are waiting, we are expecting, we are anticipating. We're inviting you with all our hearts. Stay coming to my heart, Lord. Lord. Heavenly Father, we saw in the Bible, you responded when they entreated you to come in and abide with them. Bible said, Lord, you acted as though you was going on. But when they begin to implore thee, coming, Lord, won't you stay with us a little while? You came in, you broke the bread, you sat at the head of the table, and you made yourself known in the breaking of the bread. Lord, it's even time. The gospel has come in the west. The same sun is setting, Lord, that shone in the east. Lord, we invite you, Father, to come in amongst us. Take your place at the head of the table. Break the bread and reveal yourself. Change the scene, Lord. Take away the gloominess, Lord, and come in abide with us and show you are the risen Christ. When Jesus comes, new hope arises. Oh, God, like it came in upon Martha and Mary and them, Lord. You changed the scene, Lord. Oh, may you come riding in today, Father. Let all be changed when Jesus comes. We believe that, Father. You put it upon my heart, Lord. And I believe, Lord, you want to do something for us today. Lord, let it be done. Have your way amongst us. Let nothing hinder you, Lord. Let that name be praised in the congregation of your saints. Let our people be blessed and encouraged. We ask these things for thy glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of St. Luke, chapter 5 and chapter 17. And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy. Not just maybe leper in the hands or in the feet, or some had leprosy in the head, but this man was full of leprosy, who, seeing Jesus, the Word, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, give me respects, right title. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. That his confession of his faith, his revelation when he saw the Word. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him, tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing, according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And St. Luke 17. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now notice, they didn't have a confession of faith, really. But they cried out for mercy. The other man said, I know if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. They said, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. As they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he saw it in his own self now. See, he saw it in his own body. Turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, saying, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, would you not 10 cleanse? But where are the 9? They are not found that returned to give glory to God, except the stranger. And he said unto them, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. May the Lord have done to his word. You may have a seat. I just want to pick up where I was here the last time. And I was speaking of St. Mark 11:24, where it says in the scripture that, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And we were taking that scripture and I was showing you how it is you could believe that you have received them. And after you already have received them, then you shall have them. And we are showing that that was a principle of faith that Jesus lived by, because he had perfect faith. He is the source of our faith. Any faith that we have to receive is what we're getting from him. And before we could get it from him, he has to have it to give it to us. And the Bible says in Hebrews 11, the world will frame by the word of God by faith, telling us that God himself had to have faith in his own word when he spoke the word, because the 10 didn't come back. And Jesus says there was 10 healed. He didn't see them. He didn't see the healing in the body. But he tell the man, wasn't there 10 of you healed?
Why? Because he knew he had faith when he spoke that word, there was going to be healed. He was going to be made whole. So it showed where Jesus was living. He had to see through the eye. Well, when the man came back, he says, what about the rest? Was they healed too? I see you get healed. Hey, like my word, will it come to pass after all? No, he didn't say that. He said, there was 10 of you healed. How come only you come back? See? So it showed he had faith in what he was saying. And that was the same faith that says, let there be the heavens and the earth. When he created it. And if he had to have faith in his own word, like when he spoke to the tree, and he spoke to the tree and said, no man eat from this tree no more. And next day, they saw with the eye, the tree dried up. And said, Master, the tree was dried up. And he said, oh, you have little faith. He said, if you have faith, it's a grain of mustard seed. Not only that tree, we can say to this mountain, be thou removed. Showing he had faith that it was dried up when he spoke it. But they begin to believe it when they saw it. What it tells us is they was living in two different realms. One was, could only believe it when they see it. Jesus knew it was going to happen before his eyes see it, he had believed it already. Because he had seen it with the eyes of faith first. Because when he spoke it, he was in the realm where that was already settled. Now, the thing is that a reality? Is that just a theory or is that a reality? Now, you are here this morning, and in these morning services, we come here, we try to speak on faith and build up your faith, because it's going to take faith to receive any promise of God. And any promise of God is in one atonement. Is in the work that Jesus Christ did. So, the same God who heals is the same God who saves. Same God who fills the Holy Ghost. Same God who reveals the Word. It's the same God. And all lays in the same atonement in the work that Jesus Christ did. And he says, if those people who was actually dying in the bodies, they was dying. They had a high fever. They was bitten with a serpent. And they understood that it had a brazen pole raised up in a certain place in the camp. Now remember that camp was a camp of 2.5 million people. So it wasn't like everybody was sitting around watching it right there. A man had to travel from wherever he was. Trinidad even had that among the people, and people had to travel from Toko to come service. Man had to travel from Sea just to come. You know what I'm saying? So it was a big place. So when a man down in Sea just say, I hear up in a place up in Baratari, I have a pole. But if you go up there, brother, you can go up there and look and live. He may say, but you know a taxi I had to take? I don't want to take a bus early in the morning. Which part I drop out? I don't walk down there. He may walk around till he find the place. And it may be a hard thing for him. And he may meet two obstacles. Get up the morning, miss the bus. May I have to walk a certain distance? May I have to run? May I have to wait there, have patience, and wait until the next bus come? And all he could get out of fighting his mind, maybe it's in the will for me to go up there, maybe today is not the day. He could go through all kinds in his mind before he gets to the place. You know what I'm saying? Now finally when the man get there, and he look and say, I thought this would be a living thing. It's a piece of brass on a pole. Now, he said, I am more fit in the bush medicine. I think I could drink the medicine, I could go to my body, and I could look after and see how I feel about it. But to look there with faith at that, now he had to actually look. And in looking with faith on a piece of brass, but what it represented. Because with a serpent, just like what bit him, a brass serpent that was on a cross, that was judged for that bite that he took. And that man, having faith in that, was actually healed and actually received forgiveness of his sins because of his sins, they was bitten by the snakes and was dying. Then if that was only a type, and a man actually literally received healing by looking at a brass pole, couldn't a man look at the cross of Jesus Christ and receive healing? All right. Because Jesus says, as Moses held the serpent in the wilderness. Now, if you can't receive it today by looking at the revelation of Jesus Christ, then you are making a brass pole greater than the work that Jesus Christ did. And that was the shadow. And the shadow could not make nothing perfect. That's why all the shadows have to be done when Christ came. So now he was the reality. He was the true bed. He was the true tabernacle. He was the true lamb. He was the true light. He was the reality of all those things. So then here today, when it is lifted up before us and we look upon it, just like an Israelite, because Jesus told them, as they look and live, so we can look and live. And when Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus about the new birth, he told him exactly as Moses, look upon that. Give it to the people to look upon. So I am going to become the atonement for your sin. And when you look upon me with faith, believing that I am the atonement for that debt and that sickness that is inside of you right now, and you identify with it, you receive it by faith, believing that that work was done on your behalf, then you're going to receive it. But that is exactly the basis that they came on, and they receive it. All right. So here it is. By faith, they have to come. Hearing the word. And Israel say, why are you suffering here with this bite? Why are you going with this high fever? Why are you dying? Go and look at the pole and live. And the man said, does it work? Is it sure? God is the one who put it there. That's the provision God made for this. That's the remedy God made for this. It wasn't Moses thought it up. Christ was the remedy for our sin. Christ is the remedy for healing. Christ is the remedy to give a man the Holy Ghost. Christ is the remedy for salvation. Christ is the remedy for everything we have need of. He came for that purpose. For this cause, the Son of God manifested to destroy the works of the devil. It's whether now, when you look at the works of the devil around you, destroying all what you have, destroying your health, destroying your home, destroying your life, destroying everything, it's whether you're going to get a fight in your mind and see that more real and see the pole look like an old brass pole. Or you saying, here, I have a high fever, you know. I want to live in thing up there, you know. That thing looking, my fever looking greater than that pole. Now, right, you stay right there with it. You would move 1 inch. And there is not another remedy. It's the only remedy. Let me tell you. You have to understand it. There is not another atonement. There is not another place. There is not another way outside the revealed word, which is Jesus Christ. This word is only a revelation of what Christ was and what Christ done for us and what we are in Christ. That's all this word is. That is why it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, without this word, we're going to look at Jesus and see a man on a cross dying for capital punishment. It means nothing. But with this word, it tells us who he is, why he died, what is made available for us. So when we look at Christ, we can look at Christ with understanding. That's what the message is. Now we get full up with the message and then can't look at Christ, then we miss the message. Because the message will show us what was done for us. That is why your faith is something, it takes a grip upon the word. And when you see it, that it is there for you, and you take a hold of it, nothing is able to move you away or separate you from it. What shall separate you from the love of God that is in Christ? And that is God's love manifested right there for you. That brought all these things back to deliver us from every condition. All right? Now watch. So it says, how could you have it? Believe that you have received it. Now, Jesus is saying that. Now, he understood it. And that's where he lived. That's why he could speak to the tree. And don't bother about it no more. Because they cast the net. And they're surprised. Look at the net breaker and fish. He said, sure. What do you expect it to get? A bunch of seaweeds? He said, wait till I get to the casting net there for to get fish. Now, the thing is, many times we believe in the doctrine of healing, but we don't have faith to possess healing. It's a difference. Yes, let me say it again. We believe in the doctrine of divine healing, but we don't have faith to possess divine healing. We believe in the doctrine that God gives the Holy Ghost, but we don't have faith to receive the Holy Ghost. Saul believed God could do anything, but he didn't have faith to believe God would do it for him that day. He believed in God just as much as David believed in God. No different. Because same prophet anointed two of them. Both of them were Israelites. Everything. Saul was the first king. He even had more opportunity to believe he was a little more special. But your first man shouldn't be the king and everything else. He had a lot of things to go for him. But the thing is, he didn't have the faith, he didn't possess the faith to have the victory right there. But he believed God could give victory. He had a whole historical record about it. And as far as he knew, he had no news that God had died or lost any of his power. You see, because he never dissuaded David not to go. He said, sure, go out there, use my armor, it might even help you kill him. You know, he might be able to do it after all. And we found out Saul even went on afterwards and win battles. He even went on afterwards seeking revelation from God, what's going to be the outcome of the battle too. Sure, because he still believed God existed. Sure. So it showed the realm where he lived with that revelation. That revelation never put him up here as a possessor. That revelation came down here as, well, I believe all these things is true. That a deer, it exists, but as for me, it don't apply to me. See? Now, you have to know in your life where you want to live, where you're comfortable in living. Some people get comfortable living right there. Let me tell you, the believer don't live there. That is not the place where the believer live. The believer live that God, every word that God says is true. If you can't believe in that, you can't believe Jesus coming. God, both by same Bible say he's coming. It's because of the same work he promised God. If you don't believe that, he can't heal it, but we can't believe he can change it neither. God, divine healing is the earnest of the resurrection. If you can't believe a little part of the resurrection, how can you believe the full resurrection? You know what I'm saying? Sure. You may tell yourself you believe it, but then you'll find out whether you believe it doctrinally or whether you believe it in your own, it is inside of you. Faith. This is the victory that overcometh the world. The faith. Because the understanding of the word that you're receiving must become faith in you. Otherwise, you can only hear the message intellectually. It must become faith. It must become spirit and life that makes you act and live and behave what the word says. So your life becomes an expression of what you say you believe. Now listen. So he says, believe that you have received what you ask for and you shall have it. Now, he says, first, to have it, to believe you have received it, is not mentally believing you have received it. You actually must believe you have received it. That is a reality right there. It's not like, you know, you hope you receive it and then you will get it. No. It's a belief that you have received it. Let me tell you, if you have not received it, you shall not have it. Abraham, it was imputed unto him for righteousness that he believed God. Abraham had the baby that day when God showed him the stars in the sky. Had a little doubt, he had believed it mentally. Yeah, God, you say it, so and so, I'm looking for it to happen with mental faith. It really wasn't working. Then one day, it became a reality. And when God says, so shall thy seed be, right there, that was actually imputed unto Abraham for righteousness because he believed. Right there it was settled. It was God to perform it whenever God wanted. But from that moment, he never started to unbelief. Because the faith got a hold of it. He had received it and then he had it. Now, what it tells us is that these things exist in two forms. And it says, the angels was there at Dothan, right there in the unseen realm. It was there. It's not that they came down. It's not when the servant eyes open, then the angels really begin to exist. Or then the angels actually was there. No. It was there real as he was here in this realm. It was real as they were there in that realm. But when he saw it, it was only then the eye began to see what was already a reality. Because the eye could not see into that realm. But that didn't mean that it don't exist. That is why faith don't depend on sight. See? Faith don't depend on sight. Faith believes what you can't see. Because I said right now, you look at the stars, look at the stars in the sky, you don't see it, that don't mean it's not there. I mean, you'd be a fool to say you have no stars in the sky right now. Just you can't see them, but they're right there. You just take the little darkness and come out to see, show them. You know the stars went somewhere and go come out tonight. They're right there. They're shining right. They didn't stop shining when the sun rose. They're still shining. You go down by the sea and say, like, I can't see no fish in the sea. It don't mean you don't have no fish out there. No, they're right here. So it don't mean what you could see is real. So you find out then. Like that, you guys see beyond this wall. You guys see that nothing behind the wall? It's just your eye can't see behind that wall. Now, once you understand the sense of your body, then you don't let them dictate to you and govern you because you know the limitation.
Move back the stone, girl. And she's arguing with the word. Trying to say, but no, he's thinking. He said, but I tell you, move back the stone. No, when he was praying, he said, Father, I know you hear me always. You see what I'm saying? Now, the thing is, to live here is what revelation is. Revelation doesn't know a lot of things. Revelation is to put you to live in a certain place where God is real to you always. Present always. Like David said, he's forever before me. Though I'm in hell, he's there with me. Lord, I'm with you always. Revelation put us in the presence of God. It brings God real to us. As real as we know we are here, we know he's here. Because we know we can only exist here because of him. And the reason that God has to send a prophet to teach us to restore the faith, to restore that faith, he had to come and teach us about our own self. He said, faith is not something just grab at. He said, faith is real. My eyes seeing this brother sitting right with his glasses and this red shirt. Nobody can convince me the blue shirt he has on. Nobody can convince me it's white. It's red. Because my senses declare that to be red. It can tell, I believe what my senses declare to me. He said, and so it is, just as my eyes see that it's red, so faith they see the promise right there. And he began to show us, look, you don't believe with your body. And then, that was a great thing for us to know that. Then he said, you don't even believe with your spirit. Oh, that's more fantastic. Because as far as we're concerned, there's a spirit inside of me. See? And whatever inside of me believe, but then once a thought comes inside of me, I say, that's me. No, that don't have to be me still. Because that reason inside of me, that is not faith, that is not me. It's that memory and imagination, that has nothing to do with me. Definitely the Indian bring anything he wants. I am that soul inside of the air. That's the real me. That is the gene of God that comes from God. That's spirit gonna break up. That's gonna go to the theophany. He said, you killed your reason, nothing, you know all things. Because you're not gonna human spirit there to reason. And he said, if you have reason when you go to heaven, you go reason with God. You know what I'm saying? You know God will tell you something, you'll be reasoning against it. So that all gonna break up. That is why he said when our word comes to bring real faith, God has to get to that human spirit inside of the air. And God has to blow all our flues inside of the air and get that soul to agree with the word. Now if that soul is part of the word, that soul could never reason against the word. That soul is going to confess that word though the body is as sick as I don't know what. Let me tell you, though the eye sin and the eye want to say, no, I'm not healing. The soul says, shut your mouth. I am the boss in the house. I say, you're well, amen. Sure. The reason they say, but how you can say that? You're a fanatic. Look, the body's sick, and the reason they're going to conspire with the body. And then your victory is not God. Your victory is right in you. And I took a couple of messages right here the couple of weeks before to show the battle in the man and what the victory is. It's not nothing outside of you. Healing all them things is possessed right inside of you. What does make you don't receive the Holy Ghost? Is your concept, your understanding. Is your own unbelief. Sure. It's not nothing outside of you stopping you from getting nothing from God. Is the devil not nothing making you stop you from getting nothing from God? The devil work is destroyed already. Is something inside of you making you see the devil still powerful? Is something inside of you making you see the devil could hinder you above what God could do for you? And that's reasoning. That's not nothing outside. It's the devil getting into your spirit and presenting to you that way. To see it that way. And the way you see it, you relate to it. You see, that's why faith comes by hearing the word. Because the word has to keep coming in there to build that soul up. To feed that soul. To energize that soul with the word. God said so. God said so. Now watch. Now if Jesus said, all these laws already existed. These laws was new laws. When Jesus came, those things were there, already existing. Jesus wasn't doing new things. He was just living in the realm where our Son of God was supposed to live, where faith makes a person live. So because he was living there, he was doing those things. That's why when they thought that this miracle was over and they thought Jesus alone could have do that, or the apostle alone could have done it, and they went to heaven, a prophet come back and do the same thing again. And the reason he could do it is because it was still here. He said the Holy Ghost never went back. It came in there at Pentecost and never went back. The church was without miracles, the church was without all these things because of the concept the church had, not because the Holy Ghost had went back. Because the Holy Ghost never went back. There's no two comings to the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost come once. That's in their Pentecost and never went back since. He said that sun is always shining since from creation. That sun never stopped shining. It may have a dark cloud come and overshadow it. You see? And you may think the sun is shining. But there's a dark cloud blocking your eyes from the sun. But the sun is still shining behind the dark clouds. You see? So this is what it is. So when we can come to the place to see these things, when you face it, you can face it with the understanding, and you can look at it and know exactly how you can. You tell me how you can look at all this great big built up world as a believer. All these big skyscrapers all around, all these big cities, all these plans that's going on, and tell me you believe Jesus coming soon, and you believe in a couple of years here will be like an Eden they have now. These things, you believe that? You believe God can remove all that and bring an Eden? Then tell me why God can remove from your earth. And bring back health. Let me tell you, the same faith confessing that is what I'll confess the next thing. It can't be two faith, how to be the same faith? If it's faith, if it's revealed inside of you, if the word is revealed inside of you, right? I say these principles, we have to start to live by it. That what it is. Jesus was showing it and saying, here, this is where you must live. This is where the Holy Ghost comes to put you to live. And you live by this law now. I told you, I delight myself after the law of the inward man since I discovered that law. By the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation no more. You mean a man can live by a law of the spirit and there's no condemnation? Now the devil don't bring condemning thoughts. But he can no more ever condemn you or get you to fall into condemnation because of what you understand now. But you still are condemned because you look around and see people all around you, their head hang down, gloomy, I can't be defeated. You'll see them all around you. Because they ain't get the law yet. That scripture is not interpreted in the life yet. They haven't discovered the law in the inward man yet. So whenever the law in the outward man come, and they want to do that which is good and evil is part of them, they get condemned right there. They see that, they say, look. And he used the law in the outward man to condemn them. Because they can't delight themselves in the law after the inward man. Now Paul was showing that. He said, no, this is what the Spirit of Christ came in to do in me. Not just give me power to work miracles, but give me power to live in a place where the miracles continue to stay there all the time. Because it's not a hit and miss thing. It's a place by the revelation of Christ you're standing in. There's something called perfect state and perfect standing. There's a place the blood of Jesus Christ has called inside. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. If that is revealed to you, that is his blood cleansing from all sin. And when you accept that and you identify and you confess your sins, his blood cleanses from all sin and you are before him justified. Now he says that about you. But the thing is, we don't believe that about ourselves. Why? Thoughts in the mind tell us different. The question is it thoughts in the mind that are different, is of God or not? Could the devil be that wise and that subtle to bring thoughts into the mind through the sense of reasoning, when it's you thinking it, through imagining, through memory, when it's in your very own thought, not somebody thinking and telling you, it's in your mind, it's in the members right there. And then, faith is Sam and say first, get the hands of that is not of God? Let me tell you. That's where all healing, that's where every promise starts right there. But that's where the battle is fought right there. That's where you are being resisted by the devil. And that when you have to resist him and he shall flee from you. Flee from you where? From your mind. The devil is running around somewhere over there. He's in the battleground fighting. Because the fact that it says that God wants to give it to you more than he wants to give it to you. That is true. Every day, he is in your mind. That scripture coming to you, the word that you read, the things that you hear, that is the word which is God coming in your mind every day to tell you, receive it. It's yours. Believe it. Accept it. And Satan is right in the mind, fighting God and saying, no, it's not time. It's not for you. It's later on. It's not real. You can't have that. Look, you ain't ready yet. You got to get a little more holy. So, and you keep it. It's right there. It's going on right there. That's what's happening. And you can't see in your life how God wants to give it to you. Feel God didn't love you. You can't see how God wants to give it to you because you're recognizing God. And once you can't recognize God, you can't recognize the devil either. Because that's in the realm of spirit and you in the flesh. So you've seen people and you've seen this. And you said, well, this one trying to help me. This one trying to say nice words to me. This one trying to encourage me. This one trying to flatter me. This one trying to help me. This one trying to rebuke me. This one trying to, and you've seen flesh. But you're in the humanistic realm. You think God, the being, the logos, will come in, inside your mind here? It's the word. Is he speaking the word to you? See, God ought to come in there. You think God ought to run a man to heal him? He sends his word. He speaks his word. See. So what? So he says, believe you have received it. How can you believe you have received it? I said, those angels was right there. As visible as ever. Like these men here in the scripture we take. He spoke to them. Here was lepers, full of leprosy in Luke 17. And they saw him coming. And they said, oh God, have mercy on us. Because I can imagine, to be a leper in them days, you had to be an outcast of society. You had a disease that wasn't internal, it was external. A lot of people carry internal disease and bear no shame. Because the body looks clear and nice as well. And they walk about and they can be more sick than somebody who have an external disease. And the person with external disease, you know, they're going through more horror and bearing more shame. Because, especially if you have a disease, let's say in your face, or in your hands, or in some visible part of your body, where it could be easily noticed by the other person, it becomes shameful, it becomes embarrassed. So there's an inner torment you go through to begin with. If a person has something on the chest, they cough up, nobody can see it. They're on the back, nobody can see it. They're under the dress, nobody can see it. You understand what I'm saying? But in the face, they come conscious right there, everybody go and see it. If you have it inside your body, well, you walk about normal, nobody will know. Unless you tell them you're sick, then they may know you're sick. Because they're not even showing. And you don't feel no shame or don't feel nothing about it. You may feel the pain, that's about it. The physical pain. But these men, they had a leper, and from the time they see the leper, people didn't see them, a big stone. They're like, but this is unclean and clean, and their life was torment. Especially when a man didn't born with leprosy, he acquired later on in life. So the man first know the joy of living in the society, being accepted, having friends, mixing with people, going along. Especially if a man may have, like Naaman, he was a high man, being accepted by everybody else. Oh, it's nice to be accepted and be taught well off and everything else. But then now, when your status change, and it starts, you know, wearing long sleeves. Why is he doing hot? He wearing long sleeves. He's a leper. And this and that. You know, I hear him from a doctor. They can't get well. Finally, come to a place. It reached so bad now, they can no longer stay among people now. But when they start getting the white stage, they're going to send them away. They have a bell. They have a call the thing. You read in Leviticus 13. It tells you about it. All the different things you have to do, and the priest have to examine them over and shut them up for 7 days. If it ain't too bad, bring them out, examine them again. If it ain't healed, put them back for the next 7 days. And that is torment. But the thing was, here was those people trying to bring you through the mental anguish. Because maybe that person, you think you're the well having faith. No. Faith does arise out of circumstances. And look at the kind of mental anguish and disassociated from society and looked upon as unclean. Then it says, even about unclean, unclean. If a person passing there, you have to let them know, unclean, which is I unclean, so stay far, don't, you know, keep a distance. And they have to say it. Unclean again. It's embarrassed. Where's the unclean? Who unclean breads? Who? He said, it's me. Stay from me. See, as a leper. It's an embarrassing thing. And the only hope them people ever had, again, back in society, was perchance some miracle something take place. Well, you can imagine when they might have heard that Jesus, I know in the Bible, leprosy is a type of sin. I ain't talking about sin, it's just unbelief. Understand, sin is unbelief. We grew up in the world now. We ain't the children in the world, like the man in the rum shop and the man out, the prostitute outside there. Sin is unbelief. A man can say, ride your cover up, clean your night, three-piece suit, big Schofield Bible, Thompson chain. Leprosy, unbelief. He believes nothing inside the Bible packing. Everything on the line, mark up in color, different things. We still don't believe none. You see what I mean? Unbelief. So the thing is, when from the time the man saw Jesus, and they saw him there, the first in the crowd, have mercy. Because it can be many things make them cry out. A man, wife, maybe like, someone you see Ben Hur, you know, or they come down there, I didn't, and they come out easy, you know, they feel down the valley, the lepers, and they had to put the bread or everything outside there, and then they crawl up and they run back in the cave and different things. It showed the kind of anguish that the lepers how used to be back there. You realize it's a dreadful thing. Sometimes you hear a leper wrong, a big stone. Nobody want to touch, I'm going to do them. And this man, you can imagine, he might have children, maybe just get a newborn baby, and then, you know, wife, maybe not married or something, gets struck with a disease. I have to live in that kind of anguish. You can only wish I could go back to my home. You man, maybe build and labor and build a nice home. Maybe a dream in life to finally build your home and prepare it and raise a family. When you have to build your home, leprosy take you. You gotta go out. You can't even go back and ride your horses. You can't even go with your family. You can't even take your children for a walk. You can't even go have a picnic with your family. They all outside there bringing food. You know, you can't sit at your own table that you have to eat your own food. And that people they have is something in them. Want to drive them back into that place. Now you just I don't want unbelief and faith. Watch it. It's unbelief and faith. But Jesus told the man, he said, your faith has made thee whole. And when they saw Jesus, they said, oh God, Jesus have mercy on us. And that was when he saw them. He didn't lay his hand on them. He didn't take out the leprosy immediately. Because of the confession. They just cried for mercy. Oh God, I want to come out of this condition. Oh God, I cast in this condition. Oh God, have compassion on me. I beg you, please. But even though a cry like that comes, it takes faith in God's promise. It takes faith in his word to receive anything. Not even Jesus could give it to them except they have faith in the word. Understand that? You know why? Because for everybody who else will have to come afterwards, will have to be by faith. To everybody who will come before, will have to be by faith. So you know what he did? He spoke the word. He gave them something to do that they have to have faith in the word. He said, go and show yourself to the priest. Now you got to be a crazy man to walk up back in the city and go into the temple and call in the priest as a leper. Because even before your leprosy reached that stage, they shut you up in a house and they send you away. And for you then to walk up there, you had now to believe the word that he said. In other words, you come approaching me crying and begging me, do you believe my word? That's what it was right there. So he says, go and show yourself to the priest. I thought the man would heal me right there. I hear he healed a leper. But they might never hear that leper say, Lord, if thou will, thou canst make me clean. Now what that first man, he saw the word and he saw power in that word, and he had faith that word there was able to deliver him. And when he confessed that word, he called him Lord. And notice this here, he said, Jesus, Master of Moses. And what it was, when he confessed it, he confessed, you can make me clean. If you will, you can make me clean. He had no doubt about it. He expressed his revelation in the word. He confessed what was in his heart. It showed it was faith that brought him to approach the word. But when he came to the word, he said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now, but these men came and says, Lord, have mercy on us. And he says, go and show us the priest. Now, it had to be revealed to them. Watch what I'm saying. They had to believe they have received it. And then they shall have it. If they didn't believe the word, not one of them would begin to walk. As they went away, they wasn't going back home. They was going where they would tell them to go. It was no test for me to go back home. It was no test for me to maybe go back down the Lepan village and wait. But it was a test to go and show yourself to the police, because to enter the city, they was going to stone you. You had to cry unclean and clean. And if you believe you're healed, you had to go back and cry unclean and clean when you come in the city. And to walk in and say, I'm well, with all the leper. I mean, that was the test that they put them on. Because if they had to go and say unclean, unclean, otherwise they stone them and kill them for coming to the city. Now, why did Jesus do that? Because the same thing he was teaching. He couldn't teach one thing about faith and then put them on another principle of faith. He said, you believe you have received it and you shall have it. He tells us that. And the same thing he put those men on. Believe you have received the healing, and I tell you, go and show yourself to the priest. And when they believed that, then while they was going, the Bible says, and as they went, they was cleansed. It didn't say how far they had to walk. Like he told the man, go wash the pool of Siloam. That could have been Maruga. From here. That man had to go blind all the way. Stone blind as he was. But he had the word. And the word that was spoken by Jesus is what he had. And that word had the healing inside of it. But his faith was the thing that he had to act upon the word to make the word produce what the word had promised him. It's a very simple principle. And I say, seed is powerless until it's planted. And Jesus spoke the seed. But he had to take that seed and put it in his heart and begin to water it. Works is Faith Express. Abraham believed God. That's what God saw in him. He believed it. But then when he went to acting as though it was already done, that's what man saw in him. And that is the same as it is with us. Because our works expresses what faith we have. But if we are afraid to act on what we believe, then we do not believe it. See, you've got to believe it. And Abraham's works was expressing his faith that he had in God's promise. Now, God promises that it's finished. And as far as God says, he already gave it to you. And you believe that you have received it. You know it was done for you and you receive it. He said, then you shall have it. Why? Because what you see with your faith, you're going to see with your eyes. But it's impossible to ever see it with your eyes if you don't see it with your faith first. You know the prophet says, sight and time is the enemy. Now, if you know that's the enemy, then you know how to fight the enemy. Listen. Many times, you see in the Bible, one of the reasons many people don't get healed, sometimes like with the person praying for the person, don't even have faith. Sure. A lot of people don't pray for people, but sometimes they don't have faith. Because the disciples was praying to cast the epileptic spirit out, and they couldn't cast it out. And Jesus, they said, Lord, why couldn't do it? He said, because of your unbelief. That's why we had to have it before we give it out. Probably that power, but they didn't have faith. They use it. And they had unconscious unbelief that they didn't know they had. And they never saw that the unbelief was the hindrance why they wasn't getting the results. As far as when they examine themselves, they say, sure, we see Elijah, we see the Son of Man, we follow the message of the hour, we come from the Sadducees, this is the prophet of the hour, this is what we follow, we are believers. If you have any unbelievers, it's the Sadducees, Baptists, Methodists, Pentecostals. But the word turned around and told him, he said, no, it's your unbelief that you can cast the thing out. And then when he came, he cast the thing out to show it was really the unbelief. So one of the first reasons people don't get healed many times or don't receive the promise is because of unbelief in them, but they are unconscious of their own unbelief. And make that when the word come to bring your unconscious unbelief conscious to you, you can accept your unbelief. You can accept the unconscious unbelief. Then the next thing, because people have instructed many times. Because in Luke 5, we see what happened. Jesus, immediately the man was healed. It didn't take no time. It was a miracle, instantaneously. And the next place, they had to go out, act on the word, and while they was going, the man in Bartimaeus, instantly his eyes came open. Next man had to go all the way to the pool and wash. Some people, unless a miracle will happen on them, it ain't working. And they confine God to a miracle rather to healing. And in doing that, they hinder their own self from receiving the healing. When they have no assurance, they have no promise, they have nothing in the Bible where God promised them a miracle. But he said, I am the Lord who healeth all thine diseases. Because the very fact that they are made well, they must be strong instantly. And if it don't happen instantly, then they cast away the confidence. They can't hold the confidence steadfast until the end. And you see many people like that, they come. The symptoms drive them back. Some people, because of weak faith, looking at their own symptoms, they make their feelings a basis for their faith. Well, I feel different. And look, I'm still feeling sick. Who are still feeling this way. And then they make their feelings the basis whether they heal or not. When healing is based on God's promise and not how you feel it, is whether you believe it. And the very people defeating the process of the word, trying to have faith in the word. I told you. If God builds his own miracles, page 7. He said, some time ago, a noted doctor was talking about a miracle that happened to a sick person. He said, preacher, don't you believe if them people with God can touch a tree or post, that symptom will take place? I said, no, sir. I said, because you can have faith in touching a tree or post. Faith is not that loose. It's got to be based on some noted fact. You've got to know something about what we are having faith in, and before you can have faith in it. So we must know how and what. And what God desires and what God plan is and how to approach God by that plan. Then we can walk up boldly to the throne of grace and plead what the plan has promised. Now listen to this. He said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. And I say, you have to know the truth first about those things. And when you know it, then it can set you free. If you don't know it, it can set you free. And that is why I say, many when the people thought they were receiving the Holy Spirit, receiving a kind of church spirit, receiving other people's spirits, receiving a sensation, receiving different things, and thought they had the Holy Ghost, and the prophet had to come and instruct them how to receive the Holy Ghost. He said, how could you receive it when you don't even know what it is? When you don't even know what's given for? When you don't even know the results it's going to bring when it comes? You see? It's because faith is not that loose. You must know what you're coming to receive and how to receive it and the results we're going to bring. And then the same when you're coming to be healed, he said the reason many are not getting your healing is because you don't even know how to receive it. That many times you heal and you walk away and you look at your symptoms still and you lose what you receive. And sight and time defeat many of you. He said, because why? Then you have to instruct them how to receive it. And the instructions from the word, showing them in the word, from the scripture, he said that angel came to him and reopened those scriptures to him that he could present those things to the people in the right way, that they could come sanely, intelligently, and right in the word, and when they lay a hold upon it, regardless of what time it is, it's bound to come to pass. And that's why through the message, we have never received nothing false as a false promise. Or something. Whenever someone was presented us by that prophet, he presented us from the scripture because he had to show that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you have to receive it on the basis that somebody else received it. Now what? So then some again, because they're watching the symptoms. Others fail to receive the healing because they don't act upon what they believe. Let me read for you here. He says many times, the Holy Spirit tell them, you're sick with so-and-so. You got it in a fall 20 years ago. It ruptures something inside of you. The doctors examine you, but the scanner never pick it up. But this way it's causing it. You have these bad feelings in the morning, so and so and so. He said, I don't heal them. He tried to help build the faith by letting them know only God can know about the case. But the thing was, though, he said, when you don't hear him pronounce, go that way, you are healed. He said, okay, go trust in the Lord. Go believe him. The Lord bless you. He said, I pronounce the blessing still, but if they don't have the faith, they don't receive it. And the blessing comes back. Now he's going to go to our house, bid your peace. You know, worthy of it, you're going to come back. But don't withhold it and saying they're worthy. You give it anyhow. He said, the angel to me, just pronounce the blessing and pray for the next person. They tell him, okay, sister, Lord bless you. Go believing, go testifying. Next person. Because is there faith in God's word to act upon it? And James said, faith without works is dead. So the first thing, many people are not properly instructed. They fail to receive it because if it is not a miracle, then they say they heal and they leave it alone and they try the next time. Then again, people watch the symptoms and it weaken the faith. The Bible says Abraham was strong in faith because he considered not his body that was dead. In other words, he wasn't considering circumstances. That's why his faith is waxing strong. The reason that faith is waxing weak is because your eyes and the symptoms all the time and they're trying to believe. As we took the word from Proverbs 1:17, Proverbs 2 rather, recently, last time I was here, show you how he says you hear it, your eyes sit upon it, and you hold it in your hand. And the Lord made all the flesh whole. Then the next thing, breaking natural laws. All these laws, all God's laws is right here. Everything in the world. God made his body to function a certain way. God made his body to feed on certain things. There are certain things that's not good for his body. God's laws in nature. The sun rises in the morning, you watch how the clouds come, how the rain falls. That's a miracle in itself. But it don't happen in a miraculous way. It's happening as an everyday, normally. Come every day. People are set every day. Can you imagine how that sun does raise millions, billions of gallons of water daily, turn it into clouds, how them winds just transport it across the land, condense it, bring it into rainfall, water the crops, bring up the fruit out it. And you can't imagine how that's been done. Without machinery, without air, a man, without anything. Daily. How that moon has come out there, control that tide. It's like a miracle. But we call it laws of nature, natural laws. But it's still the same God. That is just as miracles. And to break those laws is the same as breaking the very word. Now, many times you hear people get a stomach trouble, and half the time is overeating. Sure, overeating at the wrong time, gluttonous. That's what the Bible calls gluttonous sin. And you get stomach trouble, and you pray for God to have healing or stomach trouble, but all you got to do is control the diet. No, God can't heal you. When you expect God to heal you, you're destroying the healing process with the gluttonous. You know what I'm saying? Sure. So you're breaking the law and asking God to mend the law. God to mend the law you break is healing. To bring it back to function normally. Hey, come on, you take a pitch oil or something and throw it on your car. I expect it to work normal. No, it didn't make the function by that. You see? And you try to run without oil and gas and different things. You're going to be destroying it. Yet you want to lay your hand and say, Lord, heal it. No. As long as you know and understand what it takes for you to work and work with the laws, it's going to work competently all the time. Many times, we eat the wrong things and we undernourish our own self and break down our own body and then we ask God for healing. We make our body susceptible to all kinds of diseases because we undernourish our body, we become immune to all, open to all kinds of diseases, susceptible to all kinds of sicknesses. And then we pray for God to come and heal the body. Yet, we have been disobedient to the very laws of nature, which is not man laws, but it's God laws. That's why many people come to the line. And the prophet tells him, he says, what is causing the trouble is this, so and so. And the healing is just advice. Now I say God has healed through song, God has healed through music, God has healed through different things. He said, God can heal through our word. He said, God can heal the doctors and these things. Why? No medicine can heal. You see? But healing is just restoring back the process to its normal function behavior. When that function is broken or them laws are violated in the body. If something comes to hinder your seeing faculties and you can't see no more and your vision becomes impaired, then healing is God restoring back that vision to its normal sight. To remove whatever comes to cause the malfunction in the sight. And that's all healing is. It just restoring back that process. And when a person, you know, through their own self-will or disobedience to God's word would hinder their own body, then you're hindering the very body that is his body. Now you say, whosoever defiled the body will God destroy. Same thing. See? So that is why we have to know that this body that is for his service, just as your soul. Brothers, they make people particular about the body. They won't eat this and they won't eat that and they're so particular and they ought to, you know, steam this and they want to lose all this. And then they say they're going to gobble down all kind of lies and all kind of fiction, all kind of different things in the system. And next thing they worry about it. You see? So then he says, look at it. You're so meticulous about what's going in the body and you're too meticulous about what's going in your soul. Now you're sitting and then you get a person spiritually sick. So watch these men. One simple principle I'm trying to hold before you. That they had, even though the man came, they had to believe his word. They had to act upon it. They couldn't see to the eye first. But his word tell them, go thy way and show yourself to the priest. But they had faith, they had to take faith in his word. Oh, they came crying, they came begging, they came pleading, have mercy on us. And yes, he couldn't do it for them. They had to have faith in his word to receive from him. That first man came and he confessed his faith before him. And he said, Lord, he says, I believe that thou art able to make me whole. If thou wilt, thou can cleanse me. And the man that was full of leprosy. So when he made that confession, he didn't say, well, you know, if leprosy is on my hand, look, it's a small case. I guess I can get delivered from it. But since the case gets so far advanced, I become a hopeless case. Let me tell you, it has no hopeless case with Christ. You have no hopeless case with the word. And if I'm trying to get your attention to the word, by the word, I'm trying to get the attention of your faith to look to his promise. And you can look at it and see, really, God said that. And really, that is the way it was. And really, maybe my attitude and my approach was not according to the scripture. And now the scripture been brought to my attention. And I didn't have it that exact way. Well, now I'm going to strive exactly by the scripture. I can expect it now because I believe I have received it now. I have received that revelation of it, and I shall see it. The man saw it in his own self. Or when he saw it in his own self, with his own eyes. But he couldn't see it in his own eyes until he had believed it and began to go towards the priest. He began to act upon it. After he had heard it, he had received it, he recognized the truth, he was acting upon it, and then he saw it in the visible realm. But before it could come into that visible realm, look where he had to receive it and walk in it. And many, many times, I would say, when Jesus say, believe that you have received it, before these things take the visible form, is where you have to believe it. Before it comes, just like those angels, Elisha wasn't seeing them, but yet he knew they was there. And he said, Lord, open the boy's eyes, let him help his faith. He only asked God, I can help the boy's faith, because truly boy's faith, lack of faith, then he begin to cry out in despair without hope. And he said, Lord, let him open his eyes. And his attitude changed when he began to see it. But what he began to see was already there. And all these things, your healing, the promise of the Holy Spirit, that's why the prophet says, what is hindering people many times is the eyes, the senses. That's the gates of the enemy that we have to possess. I said, the battle is right inside of us, and you're possessed the gates of the enemy. Oh, the devil giving you a hard fight. Where? Outside? No, inwardly. Those things right there. Every enemy is being conquered right there in your own senses. Because when you see something, what you see it as is how you're going to relate to it. I said,
Satan is trying to work every scheme he could to pluck out your spiritual eyesight and make you walk after the intellectual sense of things related in a humanistic realm. That's why when he came to Jesus many times, he said, "Your physical faith." When he told the man what made him whole, he says, "Your faith." With faith, when the man received the word, and sight was when the man saw it in his body. It wasn't faith when he saw he was healed. No, it only confirmed him. But Jesus didn't say, "When you see it, you was healed." No, he says, "Your faith had made you whole." Now, if that is one principle right there, which we take at Mark 11:24, believe that you have received. Look at Abraham. Look at Noah. His works building the ark showed he had seen that with his eyes, with his feet. Then when the rain fell, then he saw with eyes. Everybody else around disbelieved it because they couldn't see to the eye. Yet it was there. Abraham, they laugh at him and they mock him because they couldn't see with the eyes. Yet Abraham was preparing and making ready for things to happen. That's why the scripture say, confess with your mouth. That man had to confess his revelation. When he confessed with his mouth, he said, "Lord, you can do this to me." That's why I say, you know, make that we send a little prayer request and we do different things. The thing God wants to see is the attitude. To see the faith that takes a hold of the world. And you can't bluff that. If you try to bluff that, you're going to go for 2 days, and then you're going to drop right back into the humanistic realm, and you're going to get a mind back, and you think, well, Satan may end up making you believe you thought you had it that time, but you didn't have it. Not that you thought you had it that time, you had it that time, but he took it away from you. He got you to take your eyes, like Peter, off of the word, and then put it on these circumstances, and then they begin to sink. But you had it when your eyes were in the word. And the reason you don't have it now, because you took your eyes off. See? Because you have to fight to take these things. And you have to hold that there until it is complete within you, until that condition comes to its full normal state. If you just, you know, kind of go on a good feel and say, "Oh, you know, again, no, I sort of feel bad now, I don't have it again," no. You have problems. And the next couple of services, I want to take some things and teach a little more on this, where he took demonology and show it's demon spirits. These things is not just something new, it's demon spirits. You say they get in your body, they get in your soul. In your soul, you say, because a demon just means a tormentor, and it torments you day and night. Torment you in your mind, torment you. You really can't accept the word, you want to accept it, and you're going through a battle there. I hope it's true, I hope it's true. And you find yourself fighting for it. When as far as God is settled. You see many times people are crying and begging God, you know, "Lord, heal me, Lord, heal me, Lord, heal me." You know, like if God, you know, don't want to heal them. Like the man come, but the next man came, he said, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me whole." See, some people say, "Well, I waiting for God to heal me." None of us is waiting for God to heal us. God have already healed us. God is waiting for us to take what he's offering us. The healer was first before the sickness. How many knows that? The baptizer of the Holy Ghost was there before he promises a gift. It is the one who had it, give the promise of it. Call the people out to let them know, "I call you out to receive it." Then why are we turning around and begging for it afterwards? Listen to this. Could I offer you a gift? See? And instead of you come, you know, but Winston, you know, I was thinking about your home, you know, the Lord lays upon my heart, you know, I had this money there and I went down the road and I always see writing the old pencil there. They give you this pen, brother, you know, and I have it here and I want to give it to you by the grace of God. See me after service and write out by the card there and come and receive it. And you go, "Oh God, brother, please get him in a, you get him ready, you know, I hope I get, you know, that's so unworthy, I deserve it." But what is he doing that for? What is he doing that for? Could you ask me, you know, that's an insane behavior. You think of it. Back in eternity, when the Lord think out the whole plan, he's going to come down in flesh, he's going to die, give the Holy Spirit. Then he said, "I'm going to have the people to give it to. I'm going to predestinate them to it. I'm going to call them by the message in the age. I'm going to bring them out for them to receive it.
And then you go, oh God, give me prayer. Please, Lord. Oh, I'm a devil. If I get it, I need to show it. Then you beg and you cry and you plead for him to give it to you. When is he promised to give it to you? Is he offering it to you? And he waiting for you to receive it and you begging for him to give it to you? And yet we say we believe.
No.
Yet we say we walk with him.
No.
We have to realize, Lord, is your love towards me? Lord, is you want to give it to me? Is you even give me the mental capacity to even think, to even be able to read your word and see that you give these things? And Lord, I mean, say, even you look around, I realize it's your grace that you determine I'm going to have grace. Because nobody can tell me there's more worthy people than me in the sense of like being worthy to get it. And you choose me. That is why faith is good at thanking him. Because faith, they see all that. Faith, they see nothing you're trying to pull out of. That means they pull nothing out of God. Is he offering it to you? He waiting for you to take what he promised you and what he's offering you. And then you crying and begging faith and keeping him waiting for you to take it. And saying you waiting for him to give it to you. You know what I'm saying? You keep him waiting for you to take it. And you saying you waiting on him to give it to you. It's just a matter of humbling ourselves and thanking faith. And walk away like the two men, like those 10 men. Just walk away. And just going to do it and saying, boy, the Lord is good, eh, boy. It's good to walk out here this morning. You know, we didn't even know he's going to pass here. Then we didn't normally come for the morning walk, but how much people walk in the stone way. And then, you know, we just walk along here and look how we see him. You know, just believe that somebody do this. And they're talking that way, you know, and say, boy, you're not going back with my family, no, boy, I tell you, you know. You don't know how it's for opportunity like this. I used to just dream like I was well and thing, and I was going to go home with my family. My wife was so glad. You know, my arms is ached to hold my little children. And I want to sit on my table again with my family, and I live so hard to work and build this house. And they was talking like that and going on. You know, it was excitement, and all the excitement, they get so excited, nine take off. And one could help but break down and start crying. Lord, you know, how can I go home? I want to thank you, Lord, because I'm going back home because of you. I'm going back home with my family because of you. He turned back around and went back. And that's what it is. Let me tell you, it's simple. But it's difficult. You know why it'd be difficult? To show us how deep some of us are in living in the human realm. We don't realize it until we had to pull away from it to start to believe and deny what our senses declare. And when it becomes hard to do, it's only showing us how much on this side we are and how little on this side we are. But then when you can walk out there and deny what your senses have, and you hear, we hear it talk. I don't see it happen amongst us, tell the truth. I just hear people tell me, they know that person, say, I get healed. Sure, I don't mind that. I just see people sick and say, yeah, God healed me, and then God take it back, and then God healed me, and God take it back. I just see that too. And then I just see, yeah, I waited on it, God go give it, and I see that too. And I say, so, yeah, I have it. And then I see them testifying at all. I see them more embarrassed to deny the symptoms and keep testifying, praise God I'm healed, praise God I'm healed. You know, because as soon as the opposition comes up, I mean, I say, well, I'm telling you, that fanatic, you think he's Abraham? Sure he's Abraham. Sure he's that. We have a different faith. It's the same faith. I know Abraham's body is behaving so. Was the faith that Jesus in Abraham was behaving so? You see? And you don't see it? When you look, you know, why? Does people really believe? Do they really accept those things? Or has God ceased to work with that manner with people? Mm-mm. It's something to live by. Something to live. It comes like a little boy, he learned to walk, he's watching, but a little boy, say Adam, and he now discover the use of his legs. So you want to walk, you only want to walk, you only want to walk. It's all wiggle. And you're trying to lift him up and he want to come down. And you're trying to put him to sit down a little bit before he fall down twice. And he get up and he want to walk again. Because, I mean, it's a new world. So I tell him, I said, but I'm like the eagle with the wings. I said, we don't try it out. The eagle have to really try it out. I said, the boy try out the legs. It'll work in for me. You'll be like a startup. You know, he might have sit down there all the time and he watch the hands. He could, you know how babies are, watch their hands and they watch their hands and they're watching, they're watching, they're watching. They realize like that, maybe 10 fingers and maybe they can't count it, but you know, they start pick up things, they pick up that, they pick up that, and realize you could sit down and pick it and put it in the mouth and they start learn to use this, you see? Then they try to walk and they fall down and they realize, but what is this for? They see people walking on their own. See, they watch this, the father walk on his own, they watch mommy walk on his own, watching little brother walk on his own, and then they topple over. And something is transmitting a message to them all the time. And then they look at it. I want to look at it. Something dear in them. I will step out there. And you can't hold them back. And they fall. And no fall going to keep them down. They bruise their foot. And they get up again. Every time they get up again, they're in the hole and they walk. And they find the hole and they walk two steps. And the hole and they walk two steps. But they will never have a hole on after a while. But then, and then sometimes, you know, some of them are a little timid. I need you to give them a little help of it and say, okay, come on, boy. Come on now. Hold your hand there and you kind of fool them a little bit and they kind of keep holding their hand and they come and they see a dude and they walk in and there's a big smile on their face and they start to do it, they balance, right? Sure, that's exactly what God does with us. You see, because we see the prophet come and we see the whole sheaf, one who is walking on his two legs and stand up the end, boy, take a real stand for the word and nothing can move him. You see, and then we try to creep and reach, you know, little Pentecostal babies on the floor, we try to creep and we want to get up the end. And then we're going to step down and walk. And we try to do it, we fall down. And we get back up and we get a little bruise and we touch and fall. And somebody laugh at you. And then somebody is going to lift you up and think they're doing a help. And say, no, I don't want to help. I don't want to help. I have to learn to walk. Something, the Lord pushing me. You have to learn to walk. If I learn to use my two hands, I can use these two things too. And there's a perseverance, something persistent to try. Because they've seen everybody in the world around them doing it. And when you encompass them, so good a cloud of witnesses. Amen. Doing these things by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, all over the Bible. And you live in that world of perfect revelation, perfect faith. Then what's going to happen? You think you're sitting there and creep the rest of your life and say, Abraham walk, and Moses walk, and Jeremiah walk, and this one walk, and Jesus walk, and Paul walk, and I can creep. Praise God, I can creep. No, I can walk too. And you want to step out there and walk. Sometimes you don't have a help of faith, and you kind of come a little bit, and then the minister will come, you know, with the word, and, you know, somebody exhorting you and telling you, come on, come on. Hold your hand, reach out a hand for you, and they say, yeah, something, you know, a pulsation. And the little boy, you know, rather than step on it because, you know, he trusts mommy, he trusts daddy, he trusts those around him, you see? He doesn't have a confidence in him. So they say, stand on the bed, jump. He trusts out. Because they trust you that you're going to let him fall to the ground. Well, the same way, he can fly faster, you can fall. He can catch you before you can fall. You see, a hand going to hold you back up. And this is exactly what he did for Peter there when he was trying to teach him to walk in a new realm. And exactly, he was watching Jesus walking. He said, if you can walk there, I can walk there too. He said, I sit on this boat here and cry day and night and cry. Ooh, I go there. No, he said, I can walk out there too. But that's what it is. What this life is. You see, we've come from the Lutheran state to the Methodist state to the Pentecostal state, and the state of perfect faith now. It's where we walk in the world. We take a stand for the world. We see these things in the world, and we live by those things. It's been opened up to us. We have the key. As I tell him last word, the key to unlock the door. With the effortless ease, just walking in normal like that, take the key and open the door and jump right in. You see? And it's normal because it becomes part of your everyday life. Long when you don't get the car, you get the key, kind of walk in there, you open the door, you sit down there, you know? And the door can open to you and nobody else because you have the key for it. You can go in and come out. I have to come out ordinary life. House key? You know the different keys for the different doors. Different things lock up behind there. You know which key to use. And this is what we come up to get a hold of the key of faith, of revelation. There's no problem no more. Nothing to scare you. You look at it there in God's word. If God promised it, there's a way to get it. There's a basis upon which is promised. Everything is promised upon a certain basis. And everything is received upon a certain basis. Promise upon that atonement and receive upon the basis of faith. And faith in that finished work, you're going to bring every promise to pass. When you see, you don't wait for God, beg God to give it to you. You'll receive it because He's waiting for you to receive it, not you waiting for Him to give it to you. Change your attitude towards it. Change your thinking towards it. You think about it a certain way, cast down your way. If your way will bring no results for you. take the Bible away. Amen. Take a help of faith. Take a help of faith and step out there and learn to stand up on your own two feet. To walk in that world and live in that atmosphere by the grace of God. Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Our gracious Heavenly Father, these little faith talks that we come, just as it were as you sit with the disciples in the mountain, on the Mount of Olives many a time, and you taught them, and you sit with them in the garden, and you walk with them in the way, and you would teach them these things, Lord. So we come aside, and we sit, and we talk about these things. So relevant and applicable to our daily lives, our daily experiences, things that we encounter day by day, situations that we face in the home, Lord, in our environment, in our very own personal lives, battles in the mind that come and plague us day and night, and we just don't know how to fight these battles, Lord. We just don't know how to overcome and win the victory. We just don't understand the enemy and the enemy tactics as we ought to. And that is why you are here to train us, Lord, to teach us, to equip us, to make us able soldiers. Not just fresh recruits, but trained soldiers. Lord God, we know we may lose a battle now and then, but we know we will not lose the war, Father. And I pray, Lord, as we come to these little sessions, and we speak these things, may we have an open heart. May we have a good attitude. May we not just get defeated and get all bunged down and negative, Lord, but may we realize we have to be trained. And we are trained through trial and error. And Lord God, you have to teach us that we can come to a perfect faith and you can perfect what is lacking inside of us, Lord. And I pray, dear God, that, you know, in things like these, we take these keys, we take these principles and these laws, we'll apply them in our own lives and experiences, become part of our very own nature, and become the things that govern the way we live and how we act, how we behave, Lord, how we think. I pray, dear God, that your Holy Spirit will inspire and influence our lives with these truths, that we'll know them, and they will make us free. Bless your children, Father. Let this word abide in their hearts. Let it be watered by your Holy Spirit. Let it be quickened and become alive and be an inspiration to them individually. May it give them victory in their walk with you. I pray, dear God, that they would cause them to be rooted and grounded and established, settled and strengthened, perfected in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. I commit them into your hands, Lord. Take them safely back to their homes. Watch over them and be with them. May you grant us grace as we continue this walk and bring us back to Mauritius, the time of our lost life. That we can sit in your presence, sit at your feet. And Lord God, be taught these things that we can become matured Christians. We can be overcomers in this age. Knowing the battle, Lord, is to overcome our own selves, our greatest enemy. This great battle has been fought in our mind. And how we should possess these gates. Help us, Lord. Can you teach us as we walk with you daily? We thank you for these who have been here today. Those that who couldn't come and maybe didn't understand that we were going to have service and desire to come, and some because of the job didn't have the time off to come. Bless your children, Father. For Lord, we are working along this line of your Holy Spirit to see the things that are weak and ready to die be strengthened amongst us. See individual lives, Lord, being so strengthened and nourished. As this nourishment, these words of faith being ministered unto them, to grow them into strong, mature Christians. Bless them wherever they are and be with them. Lord God, as we come tomorrow, may your presence be here with us in a special way. That when we minister to the needy ones, those that need the Holy Spirit, that need deliverance, those, Lord, that are sick in their bodies, whatsoever the situation, those that have spiritual problems, those that need understanding in your word, Lord, you'd be so gracious to give unto us full, pressed down and running over. Grant it, Lord, we pray. We thank you for all things. Blessed be your wonderful name. We ask these things in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who promised it. Amen. 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 Let us sing a little song before we go. Thank you.
My Jesus knows just what I need. Amen. Listen up. He satisfies and every need supplies. Oh, yes, he knows just what I need.
Knows just what I need. Yes, he knows. Satisfied, every need supplied. Yes, he knows just what I need. Jesus knows.
Oh, you believe that?
I need. Yes, he knows just what I need. He satisfies every need, supplies. Yes, he knows just what I need.
Oh, one more time.
He just knows just what I need. Yes, he knows just what I need. Satisfied, my every need supplies. Yes, he knows just what I.
Oh, sing it again.
He just knows just what I need. Yes, he knows just what I need. He satisfied. My every need supply. Yes, he knows just what I need.
Amen. Is there anyone this morning before we go? I have a special need. Amen. It's something that they have upon their heart and they believe that God can do for them before they leave. Maybe you may not be able to be here tomorrow, or you have something upon your heart that you just would like prayer to be offered for you, whatever it is. Stomach pains, you brother Jackie. You unspoken or spoken, could be spoken, whatever it is. Amen. You brother. Your tonsils. Amen. Back. Amen. Many sick and needy ones right here. Let us pray. Let's all stand to our feet. Now, when you pray with me for these, our brothers and our sister, let's garrison them with our faith. Let's encircle them with the faith in our hearts. Hold them in that circle of faith as we pray the prayer of faith, looking unto Jesus Christ, the ones who promise, if you ask for bread, he will not give you a stone. If you ask for a fish, he will not give you a serpent. If you ask for an egg, he will not give you a scorpion. But knock, and the door shall be opened. Seek, and you shall find. Ask, and it shall be given. Yes, Lord, as we confess these things in your presence, we believe, Father, and we are so thankful to know you have already made these things available for us. For every promise that you have promised, Lord God, is relevant to every need that we would have and ever experience as we would walk upon the face of this earth. And your death and your resurrection made everything so secure for us. And we stand here looking at that perfect sacrifice with faith, Lord. Just like those Israelites look at that brazen pole with faith, believing their God that when they looked, they was going to live. Lord God, they couldn't explain how the poison in the body was going to be removed. They can explain how the fever was going to go away. They can explain, Lord God, how the sins are going to be forgiven. But they know you provided a way, Father, and you required of them that they would look and believe and they was going to live. And so, dear God, we come looking this morning with faith, believing in our hearts. And Lord, as you just mentioned, Lord, to your children, Lord God, you are holding out these things for us to come and take it and receive it.
We don't have to come and beg and cry like we're waiting for you to give it unto us, Lord, when you are waiting for us to receive it. Now I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, that every one of the brothers that stand confessing with the mouth because they believe with their hearts, making the request known unto you as we stand before the throne of grace, making our request known, Father, with boldness. Boldness, dear God, that we have the confidence that we are asking these things according to your will, and that we have received what we ask for, we shall have them. In the name of Jesus Christ, our brother Selwyn, our brother Jackie, Lord, our sister Lorna, our brother standing there, Lord God, asking, Lord God, about the tonsils. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, you would grant unto them what they have need of in the name of Jesus Christ. Let that faith be sufficient in their heart. If it's not, Lord, may you give that help of faith, Father. They can walk in and receive it in the name of Jesus Christ. Let it be done today, Father. And when they leave this service, may they go rejoicing, Lord. Hallelujah. Knowing it's set, Lord, for your promise, Lord, whatsoever they ask the Father in the name of Jesus Christ, he will give it unto them. Lord, you cannot lie, and we know your promises are true. We thank you for it, Lord, and we bless your wonderful name this morning. Seeing that you put it in my heart just to ask before we dismiss this service, and here they responded, Lord, because they were holding that need in their heart. Then you are faithful, O God, who promised to give unto them the desires of their heart. We thank you for these things, Father, that you care for us, and if we cast our cares upon you, you care for us. We thank you for it. Blessed be your wonderful name. Blessed be your name, and receive all praise and all thanks, Father. For we thank you for these things. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Amen. He cared for us. He cared for us. Listen to that song, Through Sunshine and Shadow. You may have a seat as we go. He cared for you. He cared for you. Oh, believe it. Believe it as you sing it. Know he's the truth. He said, cast your cares upon me. Whatever it is, cast it upon him. He cares. Do you care now? Do you care about his word and his promise? To act upon it. To testify of it. To give him praise and glory for it.